Hi and welcome back. We're going to try and start the text in this little talk. Hopefully we'll have some time to get started. But if you're joining us at this point for the first time, I would suggest that you try to listen to the previous recordings in order to be able to get the proper context. We're trying to lay a very important foundation in our earlier talks, and we're going to return to these foundations that we've already set down quite regularly for the rest of our discussions. For our translation of the Kuzari, I will be using the 2010 Feldheim edition of the Kuzari, and I will be citing page numbers and the subparagraph numbering system from that work. What I mean by subparagraphs is that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, when he originally wrote the Kuzari, he numbered his paragraphs to make it easier for the reader to find his place. However, the problem is that some of the numbered paragraphs run for quite a distance, for pages and pages. So the Feldheim Kuzari has broken down the larger passages with subparagraph numbers, and that's what we'll be referencing over here. It's also worthwhile noting that there are two quite prominent classic commentaries to the Kuzari that we will be returning to from time to time. These two commentaries are printed in the Vilna-Warsaw edition that is widely available in Judaica stores, that was published just at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th centuries. The two commentaries that I'm referring to are firstly Kol Yehuda, which was written by Rabbi Yehuda Moscato, who died around the year 1590. He was an Italian rabbi and very knowledgeable in philosophy, particularly Neoplatonism. His commentaries are extremely valuable, especially in some of the parts of the Kuzari where Rabbi Yehuda Halevi cites philosophical principles. He helps fill in the blanks for us. The other classic commentary is known as Otsar Yisrael, and it was written by Rabbi Yisrael Halevi Zamashitz, who died in 1772. He was also extremely knowledgeable in many areas of philosophy. His commentary is much more succinct and easy to read. Rabbi Yisrael was famous for this commentary, but also quite famous, or perhaps notorious as the case may be, as being the Rebbe of Rabbi Moses Mendelssohn. But that's not a discussion for now, that's for some time later. Now the Kuzari is broken down into five different sections. These sections are known as ma'amarim, which can be translated as speeches or essays. We know that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi spent a long time composing the Kuzari. It was not written over the course of a few months or a year. According to one historian, it actually took him well over a decade and possibly even longer. There are different theories as to the chronology of the Kuzari. We're not really sure whether the ordering that we have, essays 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, were written in that order. There's actually one historian who suggests that the third Ma'amar was written actually first, published in a much shorter form, which was the bulk of the third essay, and then composed the other four essays around that third one. There are different theories, however, to the chronology. And there's an entire book devoted to what we would call the evolution, so to speak, of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's thought. And what we mean by the word evolution is that while the book comprises a comprehensive and consistent worldview that is unique to Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, there are slight variations from the beginning of the book to the end in his attitude towards certain ideas. Just one example, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's attitude toward Greek philosophy appears to change slightly from the beginning of the book to the end. At the beginning of the book, when he starts talking about Greek philosophers and philosophy in general, he's prepared to allow for the study of philosophy as long as one is very careful to note the errors of philosophy and not to get entrenched in those mistakes. But towards the end of the book, he feels that it's not only a waste of time to study philosophy, but it's a dangerous endeavor. It will end up leaving the reader more confused than when he started. And so he says at the very beginning of the fifth Ma'amar that you're really better off not even getting started in studying philosophy. And there's a much greater value in studying Judaism without the admixture of philosophy. If you're interested in reading a good scholarly book on the subject of how Rabbi Yehuda Halevi wrote the Kuzari and perhaps some of the evolution of his thought, there's a scholar named Yohanan Silman who wrote an entire book on this subject entitled Philosopher and Prophet, Judah Halevi, the Kuzari, and the Evolution of His Thought. And it's worthwhile, I guess, for me to note at this point that if I cite a book over the course of these talks, I need to make the disclaimer that I'm not necessarily endorsing everything that the book says. There may be issues that will rise in some of these scholarly works that would not be acceptable to many of our listeners or perhaps to an entire traditional Torah audience. So I ask that you accept my endorsements not so much as approbations, but just like an FYI. For your information, this work is available. I'm letting you know that very smart people in the academic world are thinking of certain things about Rebbe Yehuda Halevi, but I don't know that everything that they write is necessarily correct or acceptable, but I'm just putting out the information for you, and it's there for you to sift through, to wade through, and to determine what you feel is correct and is not correct. Now, in outlining the very beginning of the text, I'd like to review just a few things that we've already stated, but this time looking inside the text for our cues. So let's get started. We'll just get started just at the very, very beginning. In paragraph one of the first Ma'amar, the very beginning of the book, Rebbe Yehuda Halevi starts his work with the following. I was asked to provide refutations to those philosophies and religions that differ from ours, including those sects of Judaism that dissent from traditional Judaism. Now, just picking apart this very first paragraph, we'll note that Rebbe Yehuda Halevi says that he was asked to provide refutations. Well, who asked him? That he doesn't indicate to us. We have some information that was discovered in the Cairo Geniza sometime in the early 20th century, which indicates that Rebbe Yehuda Halevi was writing to a Karaite who had challenged him about traditional or rabbinic Judaism. Now, what was Karaism? Karaism was a Jewish sect that began sometime in the 8th or 9th centuries. And it emphasized that the rabbis, rabbinic Judaism, or the rabbis of the Talmud, had misappropriated authentic Judaism with all of their Torah Sheba'al Peh, with all of their alleged oral tradition. And therefore, Karaites felt that the rabbis distorted real authentic Judaism, and they therefore strove to restore Judaism to its original biblical texts. And they relied almost exclusively on what it says in the Torah and rejected rabbinic Judaism. Basically, they rejected Torah Sheba'al Peh. In this sense, the Karaites were a later sect that was really just imitating what an earlier sect of Jews had done during the Second Temple era, namely the Sadducees or the Tzedukim, that you may be familiar with also from reading some citations from Josephus or from the Gemara itself. Now, most of the third Ma'amar, most of the third out of the five sections of the Kuzari, is devoted to responding to this kind of reader, to the Karaite who is challenging traditional Judaism. He is Jewish, but he has problems with rabbinic Judaism, and therefore Rebbe Yehuda Halevi has to explain to him that there are so many flaws with accepting or subscribing to a Judaism that is devoid of an oral tradition. However, the totality of the book spends much more time on dispelling some of the myths of Greek philosophy, which indicates to us that this was really the greater threat, in Rebbe Yehuda Halevi's opinion, to the Jewish community of the time. And that's what we called before the threat from without, the external threat. And that's why Rebbe Yehuda Halevi, when he begins this paragraph, he starts with the words, those philosophies and religions which differ from ours. In other words, I was asked to provide refutations of those philosophies and religions which differ from ours. And only then does he say, and those sects of Judaism that dissent from traditional Judaism. Now, this dichotomy of the Kuzari, in that it polemicizes against both the internal challenge of Karaism and the external challenge of Greek philosophy, explains, at least according to some commentators, the dual title of the book. I mentioned to you before, the word the Kuzari, the title the Kuzari, is only part of the whole title of the book. The subtitle reads, The Book of Refutation and Proof of the Despised Faith. Now, if you're just arguing against an external force and the external threat of Greek philosophy, the subtitle makes sense since you're defending Judaism against those who feel Judaism as a whole is worthless. So this title fits very well to respond to detractors of Judaism as a whole. But if you're polemicizing against a Karaite Jew, then you can't really say that Judaism is the despised faith because from the external worldview, Karaism was a form of Judaism that was probably just as despised as rabbinic Judaism. That's why the book has the other title called the Kuzari, and that may have really been the original title that referred more to this earlier edition that I made reference to that really is primarily the third Ma'amar that addresses the polemic against Karaites and the Karaite belief that Torah Sheba'al Peh, or the oral rabbinic tradition, is inauthentic. So that's where I think we'll hold it for now. At least we've gotten our bearings and started to get into the text a little bit. Let's keep in mind that we won't really find that much polemicizing against Karaism until the third Ma'amar, but the first two Ma'amarim really are polemics against the greater existential threat of Greek philosophy.